Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. And remember, we couldn't be doing this work without the support of our sponsor, OnPay, so please support them so we can continue to share these important stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Shannon Gill, and she is with Guided Ventures Group. Welcome, Shannon.
Hi, Lee. It's great to be here.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Guided Ventures Group. How are you serving folks?
Sure, absolutely. So GVG, which is what we call it, is a consulting and coaching organization. And we tend to work with pretty progressive organizations who realize that the future of work is here now. So this pandemic that we're going through right now has been an amazing accelerator for a lot of the work that we do. But we are definitely in support of things like conscious capitalism and thinking about the way that the world is changing.
So now, when the pandemic started appearing on people's radars, how did that affect your relationship with your clients? Was that something that you had planned for ahead of time, or was it something that now you got to talk to all the clients and give them a plan of attack to maybe adjust their goals for the year and moving forward?
Yeah, it's a great question. A lot of them, of course, had no idea. None of us did. In terms of what would happen, a lot of them went into fear-based mode. So the impact was to kind of shut down for a short period of time. Now what we're seeing is a lot of our clients, because we do a lot of strategy work from the business side, but then also a lot of people in human capital work, we're seeing folks come back out and say, okay, I need to pivot my strategy. I need to change the way that I engage with business. In some cases, our clients, their business has completely done a 180. In terms of the things that they need to focus on. And so helping them get really focused has been important right now. And at the same time, helping leaders, you know, with everybody going remote, folks going back into their homes in a lot of cases from lockdown, helping leaders to say, okay, how do we manage this from afar? How do we help our people who are going through these major change cycles, and even in some cases a grief cycle, with what's happening in the world where every aspect of their life is changing for all of us, including our work and our personal lives. So a lot of our clients are now not only focused on what their strategy pivots should look like, but also how do we help their team members who are at home, who are struggling to teach the kids and also do their job and also lead their people all at the same time. So it's been a really busy and interesting time for us in that aspect.
When you're working kind of in this field and you're providing counsel and leadership and consulting like this, how do you help your leaders project that strength to lead their team when there are so many unknowns and then they can't be for sure that how this is going to play out at the other end of that? So they have to be somewhat vulnerable and realistic, but they still can't say, you know, this is a lost cause. We don't know what we're doing, but they have to keep going forward. So how do you kind of thread that needle?
Yeah, you're spot on. It is a balance, right? It's a fine line between being strong for your people because they're looking to you to have at least some kind of answers, but also exactly what you're saying, which is the vulnerability. One of the things that we're telling our leaders is to first check in with themselves, because if they're panicking, if they're in a place of extreme grief, or if they're in a place of denial or shock or anger or any of the things that we go through in the change cycle, it's going to be harder for them to engage with their folks. So first thing they have to do is say, okay, where am I? Let me be compassionate and okay with where I am. And let me share that with my people. And they need to know that, yes, I am human too. And yes, I have got the kids and the pets in the background, you know, driving me nuts or trying to, you know, to deal with it. I'm dealing with all of this at the same time. So there's a big element of vulnerability, but then you also have to step in and say, and here's what we are going to do. This is what we can control. This is what we can't control. So helping people with bringing more control into the parts they can is really important. One of the examples of this would be when you have activities that the team is trying to do, especially when you have folks that are remote and at home. If you have things where you're trying to set up like social time, so that the team can engage, whether that be lunch or happy hour or just time to understand personally what's happening with everybody. Let somebody else on the team drive that. Let somebody else on the team be responsible, something they can control. So you want to give as much, delegate as much as you possibly can, but then also be that pillar of strength and support behind the person, helping them to overcome barriers and to help them understand their own personal reactions to things that are going on. We're seeing a lot of stress cracks in terms of pressure from this. I actually have been working on a piece around the pandemic pressure cooker that's coming out soon. But it really is about recognizing that under pressure, we start to see the cracks, and it can be good and bad. In some cases, we're seeing rising stars that are just shining under the stress. In other cases, our tried and true folks are just melting. So recognizing that, being there for them, being compassionate, and recognizing that not everybody is going through this the same way, and that our systems that are in place may or may not be appropriate. I have some clients that are ecstatic over the fact that they are literally stress testing their systems and finding that they're breaking under pressure. And this could be your, you know, your collaboration tools. This could be your architecture tools. This could be your processes for dealing with construction, like one of my clients is doing. And they're saying, hey, this is breaking. This is beautiful because now I get to see where the vulnerabilities are, even in my business, and make some adjustments for the future. So it's been a challenging time, but also a very engaging and optimistic time for some folks as well.
Now, how does a company kind of at least mentally make the pivot from, oh, this is just the new normal for now, and this is just, you know, we'll get through this, to at some point you have to go, well, this isn't a new normal, this is just normal. And we just have to adjust, right? This, you know, we can't just keep waiting for this future us that's going to go back to the way it was. There is no more the way it was. It's the way it is.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of these things that a lot of clients are working with right now. I'm doing a little nonprofit piece of work around with the chamber, because a lot of chambers of commerces are trying to figure out, how do we change? What do our members need? And what's changing for them? Because they're trying to pivot their offerings based on the new norm. It used to be that, you know, networking events that were live, you know, where you trade business cards is the way to go. That was one of the big aspects of a chamber. But now it's about, how do I even stay in business? How do I even figure out how to change with the trends? What I'm helping a lot of clients with is to figure out which trends, because what we're seeing is a lot of the trends are just acceleration. So the pandemic has accelerated trends we were already seeing, like remote work, like contactless, like convenience, even some of the community pieces. And then there's some new trends that are coming back up, like supply chain understanding. You know, we're realizing all the vulnerabilities in our global supply chain. So figuring out which of those trends is impacting you for the short term versus which are really long-term trends for you that are here to stay. I have some clients that have already shut down. Literally, we're 8 weeks in, and they've already given up leases for buildings because they're so ecstatic around the ability to work remote and the productivity they're getting. But what is it that's going to impact you? And what's going to impact your stakeholders? And this is where understanding what's happening with your customers, what's happening with your employees, what's happening in your community, your society, all the different stakeholders, the shareholders, all of those folks, what pain points are they experiencing now? Are those going to be long-term pain points? And if they are going to be long-term pain points, or they're going to change because of the trends, what do I need to do to change my business? So a lot of my clients, I'm saying, look at both the short term, but also the long term. But for the short term, think about getting really crystal clear on your focus. What is it that you have to do for the next 3 to 6 months? What is your main focus? Is it just staying in business? Is it pivoting to a different part of your business? What is it your stakeholders need from you? And so do like a stop, start, and continue for that, you know, and say, all the activities I was doing pre-pandemic, which ones do I need to stop because they no longer add value or not as much value? What are some of the new things I need to start doing because now the world has changed? And what are some things I need to continue or amplify? And so using that focus and that stop, start, and continue in the short term then helps you to get your arms around and control what's happening right now, but then also say, and how does this impact the long term? And where do I need to start building infrastructure and building up my people, my skills, because we're talking about new skills too. How do we build the new skills for where we're going in the future? So looking at all of that together is important, but you have to break it down into chunks because people can't digest it all at one time.
Now,
so
are
stop,
you
start and continue is a good start part.
Now, are you seeing that during this time there's going to be some consolidation where maybe the stronger, more cash-strong organizations are going to be able to weather this, where the more kind of hand-to-mouth organizations are going to have to kind of be absorbed by other organizations? And is this a time where you should start looking for partnerships and alliances and kind of like-minded companies to kind of work together through this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to see, it depends on industry. So I think every sector is going to have a different situation that's going to happen because of the trends that are coming to bear. You know, certainly our restaurant friends are having a bit of a struggle right now because of the delivery. But those who are changing and pivoting to a delivery, to a curbside, to a different kind of model are certainly going to come out the other end a bit stronger. However, what we are also seeing is exactly what you're talking about, that the partnerships, especially getting more local in your partnerships, so that your supply chain is not as distributed, so that transportation is no longer impacted as much. Developing those partnerships and those collaborations, even people that used to be your competitors, we're seeing collaboration happening amongst different organizations to try to build up. We probably will see some consolidation, but the other trend, though, is that people have been really supporting their local communities. So we're seeing people come out and financially support local businesses to keep them going. So there is going to be a little bit of a resurgence in that community. I know my local shopkeepers, my restaurants, and these are the people I want to stay in business. So I'm going to shop a little bit more or do some things locally. But at the same time, we're also seeing there are people who need the cash flow and consolidation. There is going to be some pretty big consolidation. But again, it's industry specific. And I think those partnerships and collaborative collaborations are going to be a particularly interesting aspect for a lot of businesses who stay around, and for them staying in business is, do I build that supply chain in a way that makes sense and those partnerships in a way that makes sense for me?
So can you talk a little bit about the grief change cycle? What does that mean and how is that impacting the work now?
Yeah. So the grief cycle was something we sort of traditionally know when we lose something, or whether we lose a job or whether we lose a person, you know, we go through these phases of denial and anger and bargaining, which gets into depression and then finally sort of acceptance. And what we're seeing happen right now is that people are grieving the way that the world used to be. They're grieving the fact that they used to be able to go outside and be able to engage in big groups and, you know, hug their friends and, you know, all of the things that social distancing has created. They're grieving in some cases the fact their kids used to be in school and now they have to homeschool. So they're going through sort of a typical grief cycle. However, overlaying that is the change cycle and going towards transformation in these new norms. So you start to bring in things like frustration, and you start to bring in things like testing and integration that all play into the change cycle as you have things that really are becoming very, very different. What's interesting about this time period is that as you're going through that grief and change cycle, it's not just about one aspect of your life. It's happening in every single aspect of your life. And I like to use this example. You know, it could be that you've got your college kids at home and, you know, and you finally got into bargaining, you know, where you're finding a happy medium with your college kids that are home. All of a sudden, the college kid finds out they can't go back in the fall. They go right back to shock and denial. What do you mean I can't go back? You know, so all of a sudden, people in your family are going through the cycle in different places. And it could be that your team is getting into a place of more sadness and depression around where you are because everybody's home and they're kind of getting frustrated and antsy and edgy. But at the same time, you've got other parts of your life, like maybe your health, where you're cooking for yourself, and your family. You've rediscovered parts of your household. You've rediscovered family time. You know, you have a nice family situation going on. And so you may be into integration with that. So every part of our life can be in a different part of this change cycle. And so that means at any given time, on any given day, we could be bouncing all over the place. So people are very unhinged right now. And their emotions are unhinged in a lot of ways. And finding ways to anchor, finding things that they can kind of get their arms around and their mind around and their emotions around, is really important at this point in time. And as leaders, we have to help recognize that, you know, I talked to someone in the morning and they were doing great because, you know, they just finished making breakfast for the family and family time was perfect. And then by the afternoon, you know, something else may have happened and they're back into a bargaining cycle on another aspect of their life and their emotional state may be completely different. And being okay with that, recognizing it and meeting people where they are is really important in that grief change cycle.
Now, you mentioned earlier your work with the conscious capitalism movement and this kind of conscious business kind of methodology that seems to be slowly but surely creeping its way into business, which I'm pretty happy about. But the humanness of dealing with this crisis can't be ignored, obviously. And it is bring up a lot of complexity that because humans are social creatures and having the inability to socialize in person is a big shift for a lot of people. I mean, I'm an introvert, so this hasn't been that big of a shift for me, but my wife is an extrovert, so this has been really tough on her. How do you kind of help your clients deal with this kind of humanness and maybe elevate their business beyond the business side, but just to kind of incorporate the human element into their work?
Yeah, this is a perfect time for that. Because what we're seeing, one of the big trends that we're seeing, especially around the millennials and the Generation Z, although this is not really an age thing, to be honest, it is multi-generational, but the Gen Z and the millennials are pushing it a little bit harder, is that need for purpose and that need for humanness around business. And the ability to understand people at a deeper level. It's less about the transaction from a workforce perspective. It's not about the transactions and the results people bring to you. It's also about the relationship and how do you have a relationship with all of your stakeholders, your employees, your customers, your shareholders, your community, even the environment, and what that looks like. And so for a lot of my clients, this is a beautiful time for them to start bringing in some of that humanness. Just the getting people, you know, understanding what's going on in people's homes. When we're talking about checking in with our customers, our employees, checking in with even each other, checking in not only on the work productivity or the product that we've given them or the service that we've given them, but just stopping for a minute and saying, how are you doing? You know, what's going on with you? How's it going? How are you coping? Do you have any great strategies for being at home? You know, tell me about your hobbies. Tell me about things you guys are doing. What's the new recipe that you created? If you're cooking, whatever that looks like. This gives our leaders and all of our employees dealing with customers a chance to just ask some more personal questions. It's a invitation for openness, if you will. And so feeding people those questions to ask, because a lot of times, especially those of us who have been in business for decades and decades, we have been taught, leave the emotions at the door, don't bring personal into the workplace. And so for us to pivot, to say, how are you doing? You know, tell me about your dog behind you that just walked in the door, is a really big change and shift. But it's the change and the shift that makes work more meaningful. And research and data shows us that when people feel there is that human connection with the folks they work with and the folks they work for, then they are more likely to get engaged. They have higher productivity levels. They feel more safe. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on when that happens. And the reality is that from a mental perspective, even our customers and our employees have dropped down on Maslow's hierarchy. So whereas before, you know, especially in the U.S., we tend to be a little bit more achievement oriented. We tend to be more success oriented. We tend to be more materialistic a little bit at times, not all of us, but sometimes. Now we've basically gone from sort of that higher echelon of Maslow back down into safety and security. So that human connection, that human tribe, that human ability is what's needed to make people just feel safe and secure again before we can ever work back up into the other areas of how we serve them. So those who are meeting people where they are, who are understanding the safety and security needs of folks, especially whether they're doing it in person when they come into their place of business and they've got PPE and they've got everything feeling very safe, especially their vulnerable populations or their employees who are working at home and isolated. The people that are helping the psychological safety of all their stakeholders are going to be the winners in this over time, because they are the ones that are building trust in a very different level than just saying, hey, I've given you this product, I've given you the service, and, you know, come back and see me when you're ready.
Yeah, I think it's going to be harder to be in that kind of transactionally minded mindset. Now, if somebody wants to learn more about your firm, have a more substantive conversation, what is the website?
It's gvgworld.com. So gvgworld.com is the website. You can also connect with us on LinkedIn, of course, and you can connect with us on Facebook as well. We're always happy to chat with people. I'm always happy to share what I'm learning and talk to folks. My personal motivation around a lot of this, including the others that I work with within GVG, is to help our world elevate and to help our world be more human. We as a species have the opportunity to get better. And this pandemic is giving us a chance to reassess some of our priorities and some of our focus. And so happy to share what everybody else is seeing and what's working and what's not.
Yeah. Amen to that. I think that that's exactly right. This is a terrible time for a lot of people, but it's also an opportunity as well to reevaluate mm-hmm. what's the most important thing and get clear on what your big why is. You mentioned your work with the Chamber of Commerce, leaning into some of these organizations locally and nationally and globally is important as well. Are there other associations or organizations that you're involved with that people should know about?
Sure, absolutely. So I do, of course, a lot of work with multiple chambers, obviously our local ones in Atlanta, as well as some in the other parts of Georgia. I work with Enneagram. So I'm finding that Enneagram, which is a personality topology, is really helpful right now for people understanding how their stress reactions are coming out. There's been a lot of great research and work around that. In addition to Berkman, I do a lot of work with Berkman method for personality, and we're seeing some of the same stress behaviors coming through that tool. Of course, the Chambers, Conscious Capitalism, both the Atlanta chapter, which is very strong. There's a great Atlanta chapter for Conscious Capitalism for those in this area. And then, of course, the National Conference and the National Organization have been very strong. And it's also a global organization. So those are some of the main ones that I spend a lot of time with and energy with these days.
Well, Shannon, thank you so much for sharing your story. You're doing important work, and we appreciate you. Once again, the website is gvgworld.com. Thank you for being part of the show today.
Thank you, Lee. I so enjoyed it. And thank you for what you guys are doing. This is great getting the word out. We appreciate it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, we could not be doing this work without the help of our sponsor, OnPay. So please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.